you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to The Phantom Files. We're a Sci-Fi Wire podcast about people who really, really love stuff. I'm Jordan Sacker, the features editor here at Sci-Fi Wire. And I'm joined by my good pal and co-host, Emily Gaudet, who is an editor at Contently. Emily, what's up?
Hi.
Pretty NPR-y of me, right?
Yeah. I was going to say you sound like Bradley Cooper in Star is Born, where he like wrote his voice tone here.
I just saw that last night.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
It wasn't good.
Yeah. At this point, I'm like refusing to on principle, I guess.
I know it's based on an old movie, but it really felt like an old movie. Like, they wouldn't show you the hardcore parts of addiction. You know, like there's some stuff that happens. Like, you're not gonna see it, right?
No.
Spoiler alert to all of our loyal listeners.
Is it not too soon?
I mean, it's like a month.
All
month
right,
in.
Go ahead.
He pees himself at the Grammys on stage.
Oh, I actually spoiled that for myself. Yeah.
You Google peeing myself at the Grammys and see.
pops up. Well, no, I have a Google alert for peeing self at Grammys.
Right. Sure.
Yeah.
Very more emails on that than you would think. On that alert.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so it just didn't feel like that real, you know. It felt like a Hollywood depiction of addiction.
Yeah, I felt like it was going to be like King's Speech kind of movie, where it's like, well, okay.
I mean, it's a much different ending.
He doesn't rule England.
No, his stutter gets worse. anyways, what's going on?
Not too much, man. I just watched all of, like, the available Castlevania.
You watched both seasons?
Yeah.
Because you texted me like yesterday that season one was good, so you watched the rest?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, in my defense, they're very short.
I'm just making sure I understand the timeline.
Yeah, I texted you when I was like halfway through season two.
Oh, okay.
And I just said Castlevania rules.
Yeah. I need to watch that season two. I saw the first one.
Yeah.
I actually watched the first one before interviewing Adi Shankar. Our loyal fans will know that we had him on a recent episode.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
You said, you know, that's the funny thing is that it's anime style, but
yeah,
not anime.
That was a nice little segue.
Thank you.
So I was looking at Twitter today thinking about anime because, you know, I was watching Castlevania. And this girl is a student. I don't know her name. I don't know that she would want me to say this out loud. But so anonymous student at an animation school, she got a department-wide email from a professor who was like, some of you have signed up to take anime and manga classes. I just want to remind you that basically those things are not art. And
wow.
He said, if we ever see work that is like inspired by or influenced by anime and manga, we're going to give it back and you're going to have to do it again.
I think we know who that guy voted for.
Yeah. She was so angry. And then a bunch of, like, animators were answering and giving examples of, like, how their work, even though it doesn't look like it necessarily draws from anime, and some that did look like it. And then finally somebody I follow was like, well, that's racism.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason.
Well, it's funny. I was doing a story on G-Kids, the anime distributor, last fall, and I emailed this expert that had written a bunch about anime and, you know, culture in America, and I asked him about, like, Americans kind of embracing those shows, and he was like, and, like, you know, now that there is, they do things in anime style in the West,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, I need to be very clear before I answer your questions. If it's not made in Japan, it's not anime. And I was like, all right, okay, I will be very clear in my story about that. Because, like, my email, I guess, him was not so magically clear. And I was like, all right, guy, this is why you do what you do, I guess.
Yeah.
And why you're probably not married. Oops.
Oh.
Ouch. So what geeky thing did you do this week?
I don't know. I mean, can I beat, like, beating Castlevania? Or not beating
it.
I would love to play it. Oh, speaking of video. Okay, I have one. I loved the Spyro games when I was little.
Mm,
the little
yes.
purple dragon. My favorite character was a bear named Moneybags.
Well, what is that? Is that a surprise?
No. And anyway, they're remastering them. So yeah. I was talking to my sister about like how we get to play them again, refinished, and do all the boss battles that we remember.
Speaking of Moneybags, I published my oral history on Disney Afternoon today.
Oh, yeah.
And that involves Scrooge McDuck.
Diving into gold
Yeah,
coins.
That must have been painful. Yeah. So I'm so glad that thing is done. Go to sci-fi.com. It's obviously, by the time this is published, this podcast, it'll be like deep in the archives. But look through 4 or 5 days of content and you'll find it.
Or maybe you were already reading it and you found this episode.
That's true.
Plugged into that post, which I'm sure it will be.
Well, no, because the post is already up.
Oh, yeah.
So go find it.
Yeah, go find it. It's good. I read it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you did. You were pointing things out.
I sent you phrases so you would know that I was actually reading it.
It's funny how that's how we do it. Like, you have to, like, prove to someone that you watched something. I like, always, like, mention something late in the video to make sure that someone knows that I watched it. Our guest this week is someone who Emily and I have been wanting to talk to for, like, a year or two, however long. I don't know how long things have been going on, how long we've known. Yeah, it's been a while. We passed this stuff back and forth. Chris Carlier is a British guy living in Japan, and he runs MondoMascots.com, the website and the Twitter, which is just Mondo Mascots. And it tracks Japan's many, many, many mascots. Like, I didn't realize this, but I've been to Japan. Did you know that, Emily?
Yes, I did.
Everything in Japan has a mascot, from sports teams and theme parks, you know, the typical stuff that have mascots, to small towns and prisons. We're looking at a prison one today. And some of them are really, like, so funny, they'll choke on your roast nuts and milk. So, Chris, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So I guess the question first off is, why are you in Japan? Like, what made you move to Japan? How'd you get there? What's your story?
Yeah, about 15 years ago, I just saw an ad in the paper saying, do you want to come and teach in Japan? And I thought, what the hell? And replied and did it. It was very spontaneous. But yeah, when I arrived, I fell in love with the place, and I've been there ever since.
That's awesome. What were you teaching there? English, I suppose?
English. Although, yeah, my training is as an illustrator and a cartoonist, but I do that on the side still, but I've mostly been teaching English.
So, I mean, it makes sense that you got really into mascots. I mean, they are so cartoonish. When did you start noticing, or when did you start documenting all these mascots?
Mm-hmm. As soon as I arrived, I saw them everywhere. You can see, like, cartoon characters on signs, on posters. I only started noticing the costumed ones walking around a few years ago. And, so I started documenting them a couple of years ago. Well, I stumbled upon an event in Tokyo, and there were about 100 of them all congregated in a park. I thought, wow, this is amazing, and I started taking pictures of them and posting them online. And, I've been doing it ever since.
So do you think that I know you just noticed, like you said, a few years ago, do you think that people, that that's kind of new, that not only are they cartoon characters, but they're in costume? Is that a new development, or were they hiding from you or something?
Well, I'd occasionally see one walking around, and I'd run over and get a picture, but they've definitely ballooned. The number of them has ballooned over the last couple of years. The concept of every town and city having a mascot is quite a new thing. They've started just showing up in train stations and walking down the street a lot more often in the last couple of years.
That's crazy.
It's like an invading force.
Yeah. How would you explain the culture of mascots being everywhere in, like, everyday life to someone who's not from Japan? How is it different than, say, you know, like, mascots at a sports event?
Mascots at sports events can actually jump and run around and dance, whereas the Japanese ones tend to just shuffle around. And, some of them don't even have legs. They're just kind of standing there, waving their arms. It's all about the design. So sometimes the design's submitted to a competition by a six-year-old, and it's completely not functional at all, but they'll spend thousands of dollars making the costume just because it looks funny. It's almost like commitment to a gag.
Yeah.
Why do you think that this exploded so much?
There were one or two that got really popular, and then so regional mascots for towns and cities. First couple that got big, one of them was called Hikonyan, which is this cat with a samurai helmet that's a mascot for Hikone City. Soon after that, Kumamon, maybe you know that one.
I love Kumamon.
A big black bear, yeah. And they got big, and they started selling lots of toys and T-shirts and things. And so every town in Japan decided to give it a try. So suddenly there are thousands of regional mascots everywhere.
Are they successful, or do the people not care about some of them? Are the ones that are just big old flops?
Yeah, there's a lot of really unsuccessful ones. I'm sure there's some that have been made, and then, you know, after about 2 outings, the costume gets thrown in a closet in the city hall, and it's never seen again. But, yeah, other ones get popular. There's some which are very generic and don't get much attention, but they're popular inside a small town somewhere.
I love the idea of just a failure of a mascot and just goes, like, upstate or something.
Out to a farm.
Yeah. Do they have stories behind them, or are they just kind of like, they exist?
Yeah, quite a lot of them have very convoluted backstories. yeah, I quite like reading up on them on small towns' websites. Yeah, like, there's one called Gossy, which is the resurrected spirit of a soldier that died in a war hundreds of years ago.
Jesus.
And it possessed a calf in the moat of this castle. But for some reason, it's wearing stockings and suspenders and high heel shoes. And I, you know, a lot of strange stories like that. I don't know why it's wearing those clothes.
Wait, what kind of animal is it?
Yeah, it was a carp.
Oh, carp, like a fish.
Oh.
It's a fish, a sexy fish with a spirit of a dead soldier in it.
That makes perfect sense to me.
Wow.
Yeah. What's, go ahead.
Some puns, and the puns don't translate into English, so they're just being really...
So what's the pun with the sexy carp with a dead soldier spirit?
That one I haven't been able to figure out. I don't even know.
That beguiling fish.
Yeah.
What's the line for what's appropriate to have a mascot? Like, I was surprised, like Jordan said, we saw one for a women's prison. Is it just anything can have its own mascot?
Almost. Yeah, I mean, just for fun, I'll look up crazy things to see if there are mascots. I haven't found any, like, funeral company mascots. But that's about the only thing I haven't found mascots for.
I would love... My grandmother just passed away, and I would have loved to have like a big furry Japanese creature in the graveyard, especially because they tried to bury her in the wrong hole. That's a whole other story. Oh, but
God. I did see a Kumamon headstone once, and a Hello Kitty funeral urn.
Ooh, wow! Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
that's straight up. Do you think those were licensed, or people had them made?
I guess they. Maybe they actually were for sale somewhere, but I haven't seen them around, but they exist.
So these things, are they like, you said some are popular, some are not so popular, but like what are the ones right now that are really big? Which mascots are people loving right now?
Well, the biggest one this year is Chitan, the otter, who does lots of funny videos on Twitter and Instagram. Hmm. Have you seen that one?
No, what is he a mascot for?
Yeah, this is kind of a new phenomenon, a mascot that's very vaguely a mascot for something, but is designed to make a lot of money for the creator. So this is somebody who puts on a funny costume and makes lots of funny Instagram videos. She's got like 500,000 followers or 100, maybe close to 1 million now on Twitter.
Wow.
From nothing in January. That's an otter. It's got a turtle as a hat. It's always jumping on trampolines or riding a unicycle or something. It always ends up falling over or crashing into something.
There's a whole like cafe for them.
Yeah. I went to that. I met Chitan. Well, Chitan appeared in a department store, and I went along to that. Yeah, huge crowds of people there. Wow. Trying to get in to meet Chitan. So I was lucky to get in. But that one's kind of a phenomenon this year. There's a kind of new wave of mascots who have social media accounts and really take advantage of that. There's recently this phenomenon of virtual YouTubers, like animated characters with YouTube accounts, and Yeah, one of them has just made a costume and started appearing. So that's another new phenomenon.
What do you think it is that makes these popular? Like, what is it about a mascot that makes it a hit?
Usually just originality, somebody doing something different. Well, it used to be cuteness. And recently, cuteness alone doesn't seem to be enough. They have to be able to do something like play the guitar or ride a bicycle or break dance or something. So having some kind of gimmick always helps.
So when you see a new one, do you know what's going to be hit and what's not?
Not really. And if I post something on Twitter, I never know what's going to be popular on there or not. Generally, anything I post on Twitter that blows up is not popular in Japan, so it's very unpredictable.
Do you think it's because Americans are more ironic and like we find the silly ones popular?
Yeah. The more ridiculous ones seem to be more popular with Americans, and the cuter ones seem to be popular in Japan.
Hmm.
Yeah, sometimes I'll post something and Japanese people say, "What the hell is that? I've never seen that before." I seek and find some really obscure ones, like from a junior high school in the countryside. And
wow.
I just like to look at their mascots, so I'll post it online.
So how often are you spending time on your blog?
Well, the blog, each time I go to an event and see a ton of mascots, I'll post something on my blog. Yeah, I spend more time on Twitter and Instagram. Yeah, a little bit of time each day. But, you know, when I'm walking down the street, I'll see a mascot on a poster or on the side of a bus or something. And I'll think, oh, that's interesting. And I'll just post it online. So I don't have to look far to find content.
Which ones do you see the most?
Kumamon is everywhere. I think in Japan, you can license Kumamon to put on your products for free. I think anyone could do it because it's considered like advertising for Kumamoto Prefecture, which is where Kumamon's from. So they said like anyone can use Kumamon. I think you have to ask for permission first, but that's about it.
I know Domo is big. When I was in Japan, I visited the NHK, and he was all over the place there.
Yeah, you don't see much of him these days. I did see Domo at an event recently, and I was kind of surprised to see him. But yeah, he was big a few years back.
Are Pokemon really big there? Like in terms of mascots, so they put them in suits?
Yeah. There was a Pokemon event in Yokohama a couple of months ago, and they had 1,500 Pikachu costumes.
Oh, yeah.
There. There's like a huge parade of them walking around.
Yeah,
and
those
Eevee. Well,
those dance videos always go viral over here.
Yeah. It's quite wild to see in the flesh.
Now, you say that you are a cartoonist, and so I don't know if it means that you know some of these people, but like, are there celebrity mascot designers?
Celebrity? Maybe not. There are a few. Occasionally, they'll ask a famous person to design mascots, like the guy who makes Yokai Watch has designed a couple. There are a handful of people who've designed like a few dozen mascots around the country, but I don't think, you know, most people don't know about them. It's only kind of people like me who read into it too much.
Who do you think is the best designer?
There's a lady who designed a few in Hokkaido. There's a sheep called Jin-kun, and a pink deer with a gun, and Sachiko something. You can find her on Twitter, but she's really good. But a lot of the best ones are designed by amateurs. You know, the local towns will have a competition, and they pick the winner from the best submissions. So a lot of them are designed by little kids or grandmas or, you know, and just random people.
What is like the, what are your, some of your favorites and what are the weirdest ones you've seen?
Yeah.
I do like the weird ones. There's one called Kanchan, which is for a pharmaceutical company. They make enemas.
Oh yeah. I've seen him.
Yeah. It's enema with the face of a penguin.
Mm-hmm.
And it waddles around. It's very weird to see.
Is that what happens to you after you take an enema?
Waddle around.
I don't know, yeah.
It's appropriate.
It's actually, they make fig-based laxatives as well, so it's meant to be a combination of a fig, an enema, and a penguin.
That's so good.
The penguin comes in. I don't know how that's involved with enemas, but...
That's really, really good. Is that a popular one?
There was an event, and Cancha made an appearance, and you walk over to this mascot, and you kind of pose for a picture with it, and then they had one of these toy vending machines that looks like a human digestive tract, and you pull this lever, and it makes all these gurgling noises, and then a toy comes out of this machine.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That was one of the strangest ones I've seen.
I wish there was it was tough to get the toy out of the machine.
Yeah. Gross.
Yeah. Oh, God. Luckily, it was clean. There was no fluids on it or anything.
What's your relationship with your followers online? Do you get requests to track down certain characters?
Oh, quite often someone will take a picture of one they've seen on the street and they'll ask me to identify it. Usually I know what it is already, but occasionally I'll have to do a bit of research. Yeah, and sometimes people will say they're a big fan of lions or fish or something, and they'll say, can you find some mascots of this particular kind of animal? And I'd be happy to do that.
Jeez.
If I can find it.
And so where do you live? You live in Tokyo. Where in Japan do you live?
Yeah, I live just in Shibuya in Tokyo.
Oh, nice. So that's right in the middle of everything. There's going to be a lot of mascots.
Yeah, yeah. Although, actually, the best mascots seem to be from places with nothing else going for them. So they'll really put effort into the mascot because they got nothing else to be famous for. So some of my favorite mascots are from, like, really obscure villages in the countryside. But Shibuya's mascot is quite obscure. It's just this kind of green monster with flowers for eyes. You think? No, I've never even seen it walking around, actually.
There is that turtle mascot in one of the Japanese neighborhoods. I forget its name. It's just slipping out of my memory. But when I was there, I saw that literally everywhere.
Yeah, it might be one that's just vanished in the last couple of years and I've forgotten about.
It's I know, like, Tokyo, the Olympics are coming, and the mascots are really big there for that, right?
The fun thing about that is that somebody got in touch and invited me to the unveiling of the two mascots for the Olympics and Paralympics. So, I went to that. That was good fun. So they had a big, ceremony to show them in public for the first time. And the Tokyo governor was there and everybody, all these famous people. So that was fun. And, that they were voted for by kids all over Japan. So, every elementary school in Japan got to vote for which mascots they wanted.
What do you think of the winners, and what were the ones that lost? Were they shitty?
Actually, I prefer the ones that didn't win, because the ones that won look kind of like Digimon or Pokemon or something. Mm. But the ones that are more like the kind of weird sort of chunky mascots that I usually like didn't win. So I guess it's not a surprise that kids didn't vote for those ones, but so I prefer the losing designs.
Welcome to my life.
Yeah. I think most of the people that follow me on Twitter were kind of disappointing too. But the new ones, they're fun. I've warmed to them now.
Are they like everywhere right now since the Olympics are only in a couple of years?
You can see them on buses and on posters. And there's the Rugby World Cup is here next year, and the Rugby World Cup mascots are everywhere too.
It makes it sound like they're just like these creatures that live amongst Japanese people.
Yes.
Yeah. It is almost like that. Yeah. Like they're just part of society.
Is it hard to get a gig as a mascot suit actor?
Mm. I don't know. I think it's not that hard. I've seen the job advertised and it doesn't pay that well. It's a tough gig because it gets really hot inside those suits.
Would you ever do it?
Yeah. Me? Well, I'm like 6'5", so I don't know if I'd fit in any of the suits.
They'd have to design one just for you.
Cool. I think they're mostly little people inside because they all seem to be about 4 foot tall.
Wow. Yeah. They put the children in them?
Oh, gosh.
I doubt it. but I think maybe they're really well designed, because I have seen a couple of people coming out of the tents where people are changing into their costumes, and they just look like regular normal people. So maybe they're just like just quite short, and that's the only requirement. But yeah, the ones that make a big splash do have some kind of performing ability. I think if you're a top kind of masculine performer, you would be in demand. You could get a better fee than the ones I've seen advertised.
Yeah, maybe there are undercover celebrities.
They just make the kind of the youngest member of staff from City Hall wear the costume.
I can imagine that.
I liked your comic about the failed mascot.
I actually read that.
Yeah, of course. Doing my research.
I've been working on some comics about mascots too. Also, I submit designs to these like small towns mascot design competitions.
So cool.
Hopefully, one day one of my own creatures will be walking around in a village somewhere.
Do they know who you are? I mean, I feel like you'd be like, I'll feature it on Mondo Mascots. You'd have like a real leading edge.
Yeah, maybe I should mention that. I don't know, but not many of my followers are in Japan. It's mostly overseas.
Mm.
Do they? I mean, obviously these like things help advertise their towns or their cities or their prisons. Do they sell a lot of merchandise for them?
The prison ones not so much, but yeah, the town ones do. Yeah, if the mascot's popular, it does. Like I'm sure that there's some small villages where a large part of their economy must come from their mascot. And actually, even Kumamoto, where Kumamon's from, they get a lot of money from Kumamon merchandise.
That makes sense.
It was Conan O'Brien went to that town that had Detective Conan.
Yeah, yeah.
This was called Conan.
That town is a very small town, but it did have some other kind of small, obscure mascot. So I was hoping that mascot would appear on the Conan O'Brien show, but I didn't see it. But it's funny because he was hanging out with the mayor of that Conan town.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these mascots are seen hanging out with mayors and governors and local officials, because they're part of the city hall. They're part of that business.
Like the idea that like these mascots are in the know, like they're hanging out with all these governors and they're talking about the corrupt plans.
Yeah,
be corrupted.
That could be bad for security.
They're bribing officials. I don't know.
Oh, man.
You said you design mascots. Tell us about some of your designs.
Oh wow. Well, I mean, none of the mascot designs I've done have been picked to be used by a company, but
that means nothing.
All right.
Yeah, but my drawing's a bit more. I haven't quite developed the Japanese style yet. I'm still working on it. But let's see. Yeah, I did a comic about Spaboon, which was a combination of a spoon and a baboon.
That's pretty good.
Spoon and a baboon.
Yeah. Spaboon.
Yeah, I got a few. Yeah, I come up with a few things like that. But the whole point is that it's too obscure and he's a failure and he gets replaced. So, I'm sure that happens a lot over here too. Yeah. There was a big wave of mascots here, and I'm sure there's going to be another wave of kind of replacement mascots. So, a lot of them are going to be sent to the farm, they're going to be put out to pasture.
Walk off into the sunset.
But yeah, that's my goal at the moment, is to get one of my designs approved. If not, maybe I'll just do what a lot of people do here and just make a mascot costume and just wander around, because there's a whole scene of that as well. Like, so towns have their official mascots, but most towns have an unofficial one as well, where just a kind of eccentric local has made a costume and they just show off like a costume. Yeah.
Are they considered like a menace to the town? Like, they're not our official mascot, stop it!
Yeah, kind of. I mean, one of the biggest ones, Funashi, the yellow pear fairy. That's one of the biggest mascots in the country. That's an unofficial mascot. So the town's official mascot, just this this guy, this a clerk. They made a costume of this kind of clerk character that was so boring. Somebody made this pear monster, and it's way more popular. And you know, the guy who made that character and performs it is, you know, he's must be a millionaire by now just from doing that character.
Oh yeah, I know this character.
Is it hard? You know, you said you would make one yourself, like the costume. Is there an easy way to get those made, or is that like a skill that people have, or is there a
some people like just staple something together with things from a craft store, and you can kind of tell. But then other ones look really professional. There are companies that you know, that they make these costumes, and you know, they cost about $5,000 or $6,000 to make the costumes, the really professional ones like Kumamon. You know, they got fans inside for ventilation. Some of them have cameras. People can see where they're going. So they're very high tech, these costumes.
Have you know? There's a mascot that we're obsessed with here. Have you seen the Philadelphia Flyers mascot Gritty?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I'm following him on Twitter. Yeah. Yeah, he seems to have blown up very quickly.
Yes.
It was totally social media. And then also, I think you mentioned this a little bit, it's like the renegade energy. He was attacking other mascots at games.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, he seems like a Japanese mascot, like his vibe, just the weirdness.
Yeah, they should put him on a plane to Japan. And
oh, my God.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. The Philadelphia Fanatic came here and made some appearances. Yeah, that was fun. The sports mascots here are fun too. Have you seen the mysterious fish?
Yes.
The Chiba Lotte Marine.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of goes through evolution on the field every time it appears. It kind of vomits out its own skeleton, and the skeleton starts running.
Yes, it's so creative.
Yeah, I know, like, I went to a Yomiuri Giants game, and they just had a whole family of bunnies, so it was kind of, you know, mild.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most of them, the sports ones are kind of not so different to just regular sports mascots, but a few of them are really bizarre.
You know, the thing about Gritty was that, and I don't know if people in Japan do this with their mascots, like, yes, he was attacking other mascots, like Emily said, and then people started taking him, like, assigning meaning to him. Like, a lot of people were, you know, real liberal progressive people were saying, you know, Gritty was part of Antifa now, or Gritty was, you know, a socialist, and like turning him into a meme in that way.
Yeah. That hasn't happened so much to the Japanese ones, but some of them blow up for strange reasons, and they get a big fan base that they weren't expecting. There's one that's maybe like an ice cream cone, like just some soft cream, soft whipped cream, but it looks kind of like a turd, and everyone assumes that it's meant to be a dog poop. So, brace that and just calls itself a dog poop now. I saw it appearing, and it actually like poops out these toys, and you can win those as prizes if it happens to poop one out when it's walking past you.
That's amazing.
That's so good. And so you talk about how like the sports ones are pretty chill, like most people, you know, they're more like American sports. Are there any, like, other than the Marines one, are there any other insane sports mascots?
There's one called Tsubakuro, which is a swallow for the Yakult Swallows, and it just really behaves like a kind of a heel all the time, like it shot one of the other mascots with a t-shirt gun, and it's always kind of tripping up the other mascots. It's very devious and nasty in that way.
Yeah, I was going to ask if anyone were like Gritty nasty. Yeah,
apparently.
yeah. Even, you know, obscure sports like curling or a lot of unusual sports have mascots. And so when you look at them all, there are always a few strange ones. Yeah, some of the soccer ones are good. There's some from Ehime Prefecture. There's a few kind of football hooligan type kind of crazy mascots with tangerines for heads.
Sure.
And they and they look kind of very threatening. They've got these kind of angry faces. I like those ones.
How do kids feel about these? Are they scared of any of them?
Yeah, sometimes, you know. There was one I posted the other day that's a kappa.
That's kappa, the turtle. That's the thing I was thinking of.
Kind of like sort of turtle water monster with a kind of bald spot on its head.
Yep.
Over the years, they've developed into this kind of cute thing where they look quite sweet. And there's lots of mascots where they're these nice kappas, but there's one that's just kind of terrifying, and it's just got long, straggly hair, I've seen pictures of it just approaching kids and, you know, summer festivals or school prize giving ceremonies, and the kids are just running away screaming.
I love that.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember its name. That one was popular when I posted on Twitter the other day. I think because it was Halloween, it looked like some kind of terrifying costume, but it's an actual real character. It's called Gajiro, that's it.
So what do you think is the absolute worst mascot you've ever seen?
Oh, the worst?
Yes.
Well, there are some... I guess the worst ones are the ones which don't get any attention at all. So, like, just the most boring kind of generic ones. If it's, like, just a cat or something without any extra gimmick or any strange design. Those ones just kind of fall by the wayside really quickly. And there are some where they're the worst mascot because they've been made really cheaply and put together really badly, but I kind of like those ones. They're quite fun.
They're scrappy.
Are there any really controversial ones?
Somebody designed one that was based on, like, a starving peasant girl.
Oh, my God.
It's like a historical one, and it was just a kind of really depressed-looking girl with, like, sunk cheeks. That one didn't catch on. Also, they have ones for political parties and religious cults and things that are not very popular, and so obviously the mascot doesn't catch on.
I love a cult mascot.
There was it's a religious cult called Happy Science, and they have a mascot that I've seen around a couple of times, and because people go with their kids, they'll see the mascot and they'll say, oh, what's this a mascot for? And then they find out and they quickly scurry away to get away from it. There's a religious the Rail or Ryle religion. It's like people worship aliens. And, I saw a mascot for them, like this UFO, this kind of alien character wandering around. And it was handing out manga about this religion.
Oh, my God.
So that was interesting to see.
Are you more likely, because of some sort of mascot or whatever, to buy a product or become interested in a company?
I guess so. They are effective in that way. I mean, if I'm going to buy some... I'm thinking of things with, say toilet paper. You know, if there's some with Kumon or something, I'll just instinctively buy that just because I like the mascot on the product. So I think they are effective in that regard. There are toothpaste commercials with mascots, and I like that character, and so I'll buy that toothpaste. But it's more of a kind of impulse thing when I'm in the store. Seeking things out. Mascot merchandise is, that's big business over here.
This may seem strange. Are there sexual mascots?
I looked into this just because I thought it'd be funny if there were porn company mascots.
Yeah.
There's one for a massage parlor that was this girl with a kind of fish head.
That's
kind of funny. There's like a ramen restaurant called Oppai Ramen. Oppai is like boobs. I'm not sure what connection between boobs and ramen is. The mascot's this kind of really bizarre looking bird with big boobs that walks around wearing like stockings and suspenders again. So that's very strange, yeah. But I'm sure they're like furries over here, like some of these mascots. But
yeah. Emily's eyes just lit up.
I love furries.
Yeah. But I can't imagine furries liking something like Kumamon or, I don't know.
Yeah, it's got a different energy to it.
Do you think a furry would be attracted to Kumamon?
No.
No?
No.
Be more into the board mascots, right?
Kumamon to me, like... his social media presence is very, like, relatable everyman, though.
Okay. Like
They'll post videos of him, like, getting ready in the morning and psyching himself up.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
I think he's going to try and become like a YouTuber, and he's going to be posting more YouTube videos. That seems to be the next big thing, like all these mascots posting YouTube videos and kind of short Vine-style videos.
Yes.
That character, Cheetan, you know, that character's influenced a lot of other mascots. So even mascots that have been around for like a decade have just started making these funny little videos. So that seems to be the way of the future.
Do any of them speak?
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah, I prefer the ones that don't speak because they're a bit more universal, you know, like you can, because they're more international. The ones that do speak, yeah, they tend to kind of yell in these kind of really strange voices. Funashi, the pair, says a lot of funny stuff, and it even sings. So that character is like the singer in a heavy metal band called Caramel, and the drummer, guitarist, bassist are all mascots too. And they pack out stadium. They tour around the country.
Oh my god!
Fans follow them around. You may have seen the drummer Nyango Star. It's a kind of cat and an apple combined, it plays really good heavy metal drums.
Wow!
That one kind of went viral last week. Somebody posted about it.
I would love it if they started a podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. I was thinking some kind of podcast, but the problem is that none of the people involved speak English, so. It would have to be in Japanese.
Ah, yes, that's true.
Oh, right.
You're like the you're like the ambassador.
Yeah. Translate everything. I don't know if it would. If that'd be a really strange podcast if I was talking to a Japanese mascot and then translate. It's a very niche.
You would have two dedicated listeners at least.
Yes, absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, listen to it, actually, but I don't know if anyone else would. But some of them speak English. Like some of the performers, they'll suddenly say something in English, which will surprise me. That's going to surprise me. Is I'll go to these events to take pictures of these mascots, and some of them have started to recognize me now, and I'll run over and say,
"Oh my god!"
There's a ballet dancing cat mascot called Mike-chan, and she always runs over into China, which is fun.
Do you know who's inside of it, or are you just like?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, they're very secretive about that. They kind of don't want people to know that it's not a real kind of entity. They don't want to spoil the magic by.
So in this like weird way, you become friends with a furry mascot because they won't tell you who's inside of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they just recognize me because I'm like. One of the only like Westerners who ever appears at these events, and
you're
I'm pretty tall.
Yeah. That's really funny.
I post a lot of pictures, and what people probably don't know is that I'm taking them over the heads of like a few dozen other people. But it usually looks like I've just found this mascot, and no one's paying any attention to it. But
it does. A lot of your photos just look like you're just like, oh yeah, there's this like bird with like like an apple for a head.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That does happen sometimes. I mean, at least once a week I'll be walking down the street and I'll just see a mascot, you know, in the wild walking around, and I'll run over and get a picture. I tend to get pictures of the weirder ones because there are fewer people crowding around them. And so I can get good pictures.
I would just love it if, like, the mascots were on the cigarette break. Caught them.
Yeah. There are some... there were lots of anti-smoking mascots. I'm trying to think if I've ever seen a pro-smoking mascot. There's some which are just, you know, a giant cigarette that walks around with it. They've got kind of an angry face to, just to show that they shouldn't be smoking. So these kind of self-hating mascots.
Yeah. Why do I exist?
Yeah. I was like, please stop lighting me on fire.
Yeah, yeah. A cigarette that's against cigarettes, you know. Kind of a miserable existence.
Oh. Sounds like my life.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I can relate to a lot of these mascots just because they kind of they're stumbling around. They can barely speak the language. You know, that's kind of like me. Maybe that's why I like them, because I don't have to talk to them. You know, there's no language. There's no eye contact. It's a kind of relaxing company.
Yeah,
yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, I think you just stumbled upon a mascot dating service idea.
Relaxing company. Right.
Yeah. Some of the mascots themselves have started to pair off. You know, they're dating each other. And,
oh, shit.
What?
Yeah, yeah. Some of them. There was a kind of staged mascot wedding that I saw once. So it was kind of funny.
Wow.
Who got married?
Shinjoku, which is an otter. And I think it was Osaki Ichiban Taro, which is a kind of green bear thing. But then, you know, like a week later, it's forgotten and they're doing their own thing. So I think it's just for Ben or something. Yeah.
Wow.
Love can be fleeting.
Mm. They're very kind of gender fluid and glamorous, you know, because there'll be like a lot of pictures of them walking around holding hands, and then the next week it's with someone else, and you know, yeah, I think it's just for photo opportunities. I don't know if there's a backstory behind it.
I guess it's kind of, it's like a little bit progressive in that way, you know.
Yeah, yeah, that's something I like about it is like most of them don't even have genders, like, you know, so that's something you don't need to worry about.
That's true. So your Twitter is at Mondo Mascots.
Yeah, and Instagram at Mondo Mascots, and my website's mondomascots.com.
Well, thank you for doing this. On our text chain, Emily, myself, and another friend, we probably send, like, a Mondo Mascot at least every other day.
Oh, yeah. We've been looking at your stuff for over a year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, thanks. Yeah. Yeah, I'm enjoying all the new followers that I've been getting, so...
Cool.
It's nice to know that I'm not the only crazy person who likes this stuff. So.
You are not.
I think you should do like live video from them.
Yes, me too.
These events.
Live video. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I never thought about that. I get a lot of video, but I haven't done any live. It'd be at a strange time, though. It'd be like 3 a.m.
That's even better.
Yeah. There's nothing better for me to do at 3 a.m. than just go on Twitter and look at a live event in Japan with mascots.
Have a calming...
Yeah, I'll do that.
That's true.
I went to a mascot wrestling event the other day, so that's something I could have posted live.
Wow.
There you go.
Please, going forward, please do that. Emily, how can people get in touch with you on the internet?
On Twitter, I'm Emily G. Monster.
And on Twitter, I'm at Jordan Zachron. And of course, we are at Phantom Files Sci-Fi on Twitter. And look, you made it all the way to the end. You know what I'm going to ask. 5 stars on iTunes. It's not that hard.
Give us a good review.
Yeah, just say, you know how often I check and how rarely I'm rewarded?
Jordan needs this.
Yeah, I really, it's been a tough time in my life, so I really could use a good review. If you want to find my picture and compliment me something specific on that, that'd be fine. Read my oral history on Disney Afternoon.
Yep.
I just got a new apartment. If you want to send a housewarming gift, I'll give you my address.
Cool. Don't do that.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, enjoy your day, because it's like 8 a.m. there.
Yeah. Maybe I'll get back to bed for a little bit.
Ooh, lovely.
All righty. Thanks so much, Chris.
Thanks.